gravel road. It's like, you might put some ruts in, the grader comes along and fixes it. You know, it's like, to me, it's like, it shouldn't even be applied if you're on a gravel road, but it's there. But so I guess a person could come forward with that reason if they want to in the future. But some people are in the financial position. You know, they're spending a lot of money with Bill. They're just trying to replace their garage. They're not building a big fancy home and, you know, have lots of money kind of thing. Some people just pay it and, oh, well, I'll get it back later. But that amount of money can help out to get the building finished.
Yeah. I would support what Mike and Morley have said. I know a little bit about, you know, what happened. I was there the day after the fire. Not that that really changes anything, but it does seem to me to be unnecessary in the circumstance, especially when you see what he wrote in his letter. And, you know, if he has a 30-foot wide driveway going in there, I believe that's true. And I think it's just a bridge too far for him. I know it's not a great deal of money, but if you're down to pennies, then it matters. So I would support the notion to defeat the resolution and even consider an alternate resolution, I guess, but if that's needed. If we decline the motion,
does that... There would have to be another resolution, I would say, allowing the exemption.
Right.
I would think.
Right. That's kind of what I thought, too, but, yeah.
You're anticipating a vote here.
Well,
we'll get to it. I'm hesitating while I'm looking here.
The only thing, if Bill was here, I would say, if you're given the exemption, I would, when you order material or whatever, try to inform them that they don't have to back in into your driveway. Just drive right in. And that makes a big difference. A lot of jobs, you'd always tell whatever company was coming, you can drive in or you have to back in. Mm-hmm. And that does make a difference on whether there's going to be damage done.
And they wouldn't know necessarily what they're driving into. So
no, they don't.
They know there's a big turnaround in there.
Yeah.
Okay, any further discussion on this one? Call the question, all those in favor?
Recorded vote.
Oh, okay.
Councilor Morley Haskin?
That's a no.
Councilor Mike Heckman?
No.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
No.
Councilor Debbie Moore? Or sorry. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Do you think those are going to vote the same?
No.
Even when we all agree, we do a heck of a lot of discussion and arguing, eh?
Yeah.
Want to keep going and come back to that?
No, it's okay.
Just for the record, so that if this does come up as a precedent setting, do we want to have an explanation as to why we decided this in this case? I mean, or does it clutter it? I mean, but I know it's not needed for this exact purpose, but if somebody comes along in 2 months and says the same thing, we could point to, you know, what our rationale was in defeating the earlier motion.
I certainly wouldn't get into anything personal.
No.
And I'm thinking what you're going to have to put in there that if you want to go further with it, why the legislation's in place for building, because you're into another whole area there with the building act, so.
I
know what you're saying, but yeah. It gets more technical if you start to give reasons.
But
one thing about it being in place, and I probably voted for it way back, is it makes the person getting their building permit aware that you're going to lose $750 if you allow trucks to mangle the hard top of the end of your driveway. So it's basic kind of a education.
And we had, Morley, you had people going in with floats and everything and backing off on the road and then taking their dozer and ripping up the road and going beforehand.
Yeah, so it is educational, and it has been has had
yeah.
to be used in the past.
Okay. And we could always listen to the recording if we want to understand the rationale. What was the discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have Resolution 25-274, moved by Councilor Kekin and seconded by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept Mr. Hoddy's request to be exempt from the road damage deposit requirement. Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Maybe attach his letter to that. So.
Maybe don't read that one, just because I want to see, don't read it, because I want to see the discussion.
Oh,
goes.
Okay. We're on to 20.1, insurance coverage on municipal bridges. And before we get into an actual resolution, this changes a bit, and have an explanation of what information we've received, and maybe we'll entertain a resolution. I'm putting Carly on the spot.
So there's discussion been around this year for insurance coverage on our bridges. So currently our treasurer is doing the annual insurance renewal. So he is wanting direction from council to know if council would like to individually schedule bridges within our insurance policy. And you can see all of the costings that would be for each individual bridge, how much that would be to schedule them separately. And then there is also the option if you don't want bridges scheduled separately, if you increase the $10,000 limit for miscellaneous bridges to $50,000, it's $218 per year more, or to increase it to $100,000, it's $491. So he's just looking for some further direction to complete the insurance paperwork.
Still have concern here, Councillor Kekinen might speak to this, but are we looking at current replacement cost for the bridges? I mean, I think that's where we started, wasn't it, Councillor Kekinen?
So looking at the April 4th, 2025 email that Samantha Elliott sent to Carly Britton and Roshan Cantilla, I looked at the numbers that they were using, and it says here, further to the recent meeting with council, please see below the underwriting information used to come up with the premiums previously advised for each individual bridge. If any updates or corrections are required, please let us know and we will advise the insurer accordingly. So when you look at the inspection or appraisal of bridge, they have listed 2021. We have a report from 2023. Which has, it's called the Municipal Structure Inventory and Inspection 2023, and has the bridges listed in there. So I looked at the numbers, the values that they provide, and the values that are listed, they coincide with what is in the asset management plan from 2022, I believe, the most recent asset management plan that we had. June 29th, 2022. So those values align with what's in the asset management plan from June 29th, 2022. So the inspection or appraisal, the municipal structure inventory inspection report 2023, the numbers that they use, I think they are actually a replacement value in there, and the same with the asset management plan, but the 2023 numbers are just, in some instances, they're off by a little bit. Nothing significant, but so they are using the asset management plan and the municipal structure inventory inspection report 2023. So they're not off by a lot from the 2023 report. So they do ask for if there's any updates or corrections, then, you know, that's a question we can ask is, what do you base done is that on the 2022 asset management plan, which it's well, those numbers align exactly with the 2022 asset management plan.
Yeah, the confusing thing that I'm running into here is the they say the value, that's today's value, I suppose. You couldn't replace these bridges for that. And so we want to make the insurance so that you get, I guess there's a, you pay a certain amount, deductible sort of thing, but I would say that looking at veterans, I remember that one, the $3 million makes sense, so that's probably what it costs to put that in. I don't think we could put a new bridge in Herdville for $1.6 million.
I don't think so either.
So what I'm concerned about is when they say the value of that, are we getting full replacement value, or are we paying a huge deductible because we have to cover the remaining costs? The insurance will only cover so much, and it might only be 70%, might only be 50%, depending on the cost.
I think when Samantha Elliott was here during the discussion, then it was in all perils, repair or replacement, whatever is required.
Okay.
So it was the full repair cost, if that's required, or replacement cost.
Whatever it is.
Okay, so these figures, these value, that's not necessarily the replacement cost. That's just what it's valued at today, according to that.
A guesstimate, basically.
Yeah, so that's what they're basing their premium on, but
right. They're
agreeing in the policy, full repair and replacement.
Well, as long as, okay, I have to
see. So we need to, I think it's good to confirm that, but that's what the policy is, repair, full repair or replacement cost.
And they decide if it's being repaired or totally replaced?
An engineer probably would be determining.
Yes.
Or the adjuster, which would have to base their appraisal on an engineer's report.
Because I'm sort of thinking most insurance companies would rather just repair something than replace it.
It's possible they would look at the numbers, and sure, if the engineer said that would pass the requirements to ensure that bridge is in a safe and usable condition.
But if we are expecting it to be full replacement value, and we're paying the premiums expecting that,
so
I think it needs to be clear.
Right. Yeah, that's the question council has to decide. Do we look at these bridges, the age, et cetera? Do we look at the possible, you know, what could possibly happen? But you're never really sure there. And decide just to insure certain ones for full replacement or all of them? Or do you become insurance poor at that point?
So I think one way to determine that is by looking at the Municipal Structure Inventory and Inspection Report 2023, and as well the Asset Management Plan, and it helps clarify which ones are in good condition, excellent condition, or poor condition. And the ones that raise concern are Herdville Bridge, Ford Bridge, and Gray Owl Bridge. But this raises the next question: is who is reviewing these reports and determining how much we're going to be allocating annually to the repairs of the existing bridges? Every one of the bridges currently need a certain allocated amount for repairs on them, even the new ones.
Yes, some of those are fairly minor, we've been told by Tom. But
well, the professionals who have completed these reports, and the whole goal of asset management plan is managing your assets,
right,
ensuring that you're doing the repairs when there's undermining of the abutments. You know, someone can say that that's minor, but you know, those abutments are supporting your bridge. So are we going to ensure that, you know, the correct maintenance is done at the right time, or wait for it to get worse so it becomes a major project? Currently, Herdville Bridge, and I think this was without the railings, was repairs, and so it says here, it's in the quartz, so it's total construction or rehab currently. Just if you look at the report, it's quite alarming when you look at some of the repairs underneath the structural components. You know, the concrete is flaking off and rebar is showing, abutments are eroding, there's cracks in the abutments. The report's laid all out. $658,000. We have $1,000, I think, in the budget for this year for Hurdville Road. Actually, all of the bridges, there's $1,000 in our operating budget for repairs on these bridges.
But see, with the asset management too, they tend to put in so many years down the road, you don't necessarily need to spend it all at once. And then this is where you rely on the engineers. Like, each time we question Hurdville, they'll come along and say, it's fine. Like, there are things that should be done, yes, but you can space those out over a number of years so you can afford it, rather than do all these repairs all at once.
Well, that's
even in the plan, that's what shows year by year.
That's fine, but there's nothing being done. When $1,000 is being allocated and $1,000 isn't being spent, or it's being spent on, I haven't seen any expenditures for the bridges. And, you know, major one point that comes to mind is that I think it was in 2016, $85,000 was supposed to be spent on In-Holmes Bridge, which was never spent. And then 2022, 2023, we're replacing a bridge which was not condemned by an engineer because the surface unraveled. It was laminated 2x6s. Approximately $500,000 that the township had to come up with to replace a bridge that didn't actually need to be replaced. So it's maintaining the assets at the right time so that you're not paying a huge replacement cost or repair cost for something that could have been done previously for a significantly lower cost. So, you know, these repairs range from Veterans Memorial Bridge, $23,000 of current rehab or construction required. Veterans Memorial Bridge being our newest bridge. Stewart Park Bridge, $29,000. Grail Bridge, $128,000. Broadmead Bridge, $171,000. Ford's Bridge, $122,000. And I mentioned already Hurdville Bridge and In-Holmes Bridge. It did note a few actual items that should be some maintenance done on it currently, even though it's, actually that's our newest bridge. But even that requires some, because everything is deteriorating no matter what you do, so you always have to be in a position where you're being proactive and dealing with the things that are deteriorating or work that needs to be done. So you know, who's reviewing this? Who's ensuring that it's taking place when it should be taking place so that we're not in a position where we're having to do major repairs or reconstruction?
Yeah, it's like anything else. You put in a new bridge, it depreciates as soon as you put it in.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a question. Well, hopefully the asset management, and as that comes through, that will suggest, I mean, as I said before, yes, you want to be proactive, but can you afford it with the amount of money that you have to do it all at once?
You don't have to do it all at once, and can you afford replacing that bridge because you didn't do the maintenance,
right,
and now you're doing 10 times what it would cost it just to do, you know, the suggested maintenance on whatever asset that we have.
So, back to our insurance, let's deal with that. And what, as you say, the value that they come up with there, unforeseen can always happen too. You can prepare all you want and then something can happen. But as you say, you control what you can't control, I guess. You do what you can to try to repair it. I wish all engineers had the same view. It'd be interesting to see what the new engineer, the RFPs out there, and whether they value them the same as the previous company did, or maybe it'd be the same company, I don't know. And that's the other thing, you have to rely on the professionals and what they're giving you. They say, you know, this should be done immediately, this should be done, et cetera, then you can budget for it. I'm just not sure if we can put all that money aside in 1 year's budget and to keep that as a, and as you say, the repairs should be done at that time. safer. I assume it does. Their professional opinion. But there could be a major catastrophe as well, no matter what they've said. And you're right, it should be part of the budget. I'm just wondering, you'll have to work on somehow work that in already. Your budget increase didn't include the money that we were going on the inspections being this year, so next year's budget, maybe more ought to be put into that. But as far as projects, maybe they'll have to be. See, that's the trouble, I guess. Projects people can see up front, they see something being done with the money. They don't necessarily see what's being done with something that they might argue has stood for 50, 60 years, and why putting more money into that? So that's the problem you run into, the unseen, so people can't really see the result of where their taxes are going. And it's funny that you look at our bridges and looked at Herdville and say that, you know, it needs these major repairs and that, but the engineers come away and say, it's still safe to drive on. They give us that opinion. Now, we're not going to overrule what an engineer tells us. What do we do? Get another engineer in and say that this work has to be done? We often find that with people repairing homes as well. They'll come in and say, whoever did this job made a mess of it. You're going to have to do this now to make it better. Mm-hmm. Did that person make a mess of it? We don't know. But I'm just saying, the money you're talking about is right, but where does that money come from? Councillor Keck.
Well, I think each councillor should review the Municipal Structure Inventory Inspection Report 2023 and just look at the information. It does break it up, down into you know, now repairs and which ones can be postponed.
Right.
And you can see where the priorities should be, and looking at, you know, the perspective of the engineer pointing out the delamination of concrete, the undermining of abutments. I think anyone would look at that and say, ooh, you know, that sounds like that should be dealt with.
So, well, it sounds serious, but we have to take their opinion. That's the trouble, I think. But how serious is it, what they're saying? And how do we know? It sounds awful, you're right.
Well,
maybe all the bridges should be condemned with the report, but
the reports provide insight into the maintenance that the municipality should do to show that they're being proactive and responsible of managing their assets. And when that doesn't happen, then we get an in-homes bridge situation where it's it's good to be proactive. So.
Oh no, I agree. And nothing, you know, countering what you're saying there, but why wasn't this discussed during budget discussions? So that should have been brought forward at some point. Not now, just we're talking about insurance. It should have been brought forward and through our public works and see what they're doing. The asset management plan, unfortunately, has been held up for a year, and finally getting something in place for that, I guess, in future date. And I think that'll help an awful lot too. And it's interesting to see with these engineering reports that come every 2 years. Can we compare the 2023 to the 2021 to the 2019? How much has it deteriorated? How much has it stayed the same? And I don't know if we want to go that far, but I think that's something you probably have to do. Were they the same engineers? Did they find the same faults? Did they set the same prices? So it's a major undertaking. And I know what you're saying, it's important, but are we a little laid off the start line here because we've already dealt with the budget?
Well, we're going to start at some point in time, so I brought it up on pretty well every budget meeting for quite a few years now that why aren't we looking at the asset management plan and reviewing what is being, what repairs or preparing for the future of what needs to be done, because it's all about hitting that sweet spot of doing the maintenance when you need to do it so that you're not in a situation where you're replacing an asset well before its, you know, expected life span or earlier. So,
well, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying it seems to be a little after the fact for this year. Those ideas could have been brought up in more detail. We don't have an asset management plan right now.
Well, we know we're in a situation, but we don't have the money. We are in the situation with our roads and everything, so we can only do so much. You know, try and put some aside, you know, every year, and then have our road super checking it out and putting something, you know, specifically that they're going to do each year for a certain bridge, and get some kind of a plan together. But for right now, I think we're...
Yeah, well, this is going forward. We definitely have to be a little more attentive to our assets and the potential situation we can be in if we actually have to do major repairs. So it's all about trying to be proactive. And
it's like when you have a little break, you fix the little break instead of you wait until you got 10 breaks.
Yeah,
exactly. And then fix it all. So we just have to try and move forward best we can with what we have.
Councilor Hassan?
Yes, so the correspondence I have here has a bunch of figures beside each bridge, cost to schedule each bridge specifically, and the cost, which comes to maybe $17,000, maybe up to toward $20,000. When she gave her deputation, it sounded like that was insurance per year to cover everything, she said, which sounded like a lot, including natural disasters. Did I hear her right? I sort of thought I had asked that question, you know, if it was a disaster, say it were extreme weather events and a bridge got taken right out, that it would be covered under that. I sort of thought that was brought up.
It was specifically, is this all perils? And she indicated, yes, this is all perils. But I think we don't need to schedule all those bridges. The priority ones possibly would be Herdville, Ford's, and Gray Owl Bridge. All the other ones have been done quite recently. In Holmes, Broadbent, Stewart Park, and Veterans Memorial. And those ones, if we increase the premium at a cost of $491 per year, the coverage that we currently have, or what the current coverage we have now on all the bridges is only $50,000, but if we pay an extra $491,000 and schedule those three bridges at a cost of $6,644 plus the $491 per year, that increases the coverage of the bridges to $100,000, which we currently don't even have.
Well, I know. What is that $100,000? That's my question.
That's not all perils. That's just, how is our coverage? We get $50,000. That's maximum coverage. So that's the maximum coverage for those other four bridges.
Yeah, but I think what we should be aiming for, as I said, is the current replacement value and whatever the insurance cost is for that.
For all the bridges?
Well, that's, I don't know. The ones you're mentioning, very little traffic on some of those. And I think that's the other thing to look at, the usage. Now, you can still have large vehicles going over them, certainly, but you think of McCullough Lake or a Gray Owl Bridge, very few vehicles. Now, we'd have to look at a possible future development in there, I guess, for other vehicles going in, but you'd have to almost do a traffic count, too. So.
But Gray Owl Bridge to replace it is $856,000.
Right. And that's what our previous director of operations had commented on with our roads needs study. The ones that they put at the top of the list are the roads that very few people ever drive on. And they said these have to be done immediately. So that's where you have to look at other parameters, I guess. And you put all that money into a bridge that very few people cross.
So that's where the Municipal Structure Inventory Inspection Report 2023 comes in.
Yeah.
And it has those bridges listed. And the Asset Management Plan.
I guess kind of a goal we would try to achieve is that none of our bridges have a load limit, right?
Right.
That is our ultimate goal, so I'm not sure which bridges fall under that category. What, or right now? Like,
yeah.
Which ones have no load limit? Do we
all
have any?
We have none with a load limit. I know. So that is a concern. I mean, that's come up as a suggestion of the herd over it. That because McDougall will be using it when they start replacing the other one, then there'll be more vehicles and larger vehicles, but we should have a load limit on that to preserve it at least. But I don't think, I think most of our bridges, if not all of them, are unlimited.
Yeah, so okay, we're somewhat achieving that goal. But I'm just totally right. This is additional insurance then on top of what we're already paying. These figures for these bridges totaling $20,000, that's additional on top of insurance we already are paying? Or it was,
I think that would be a replacement. Wouldn't that be our total?
That's the way I read it.
I was under the impression that
year.
Would be our total every year. We budget $20,000 and our bridges are all covered.
For all
totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
If that's the case,
yeah.
Well, I would, for if I owned their figures, $11 million and something, it's probably more realistically $15 million. If I had $15 million, I would love to. I think I would pay $20,000 a year in insurance to protect, to make sure that it gets replaced, especially when you're dealing with extreme weather events. We're not seeing it so much, but other countries are experiencing it. If all of a sudden we had an extreme weather event, two or three of our bridges get washed downstream, we won't be able to afford to replace them. But if we had that insurance, we could. Now, a question I would ask is, could we see what other municipalities around us are doing? If we're not insuring these bridges totally, and all our other municipalities around us say we better, and all of a sudden we get an extreme weather event and we're sitting ducks, man, you would feel pretty bad about that. So I think we better get information on what the municipalities are doing around us. If they're having the total coverage, I think we can pay $20,000 a year to make sure that we don't suffer some extreme financial difficulty down the road.
You just want to make sure that in extreme weather, that there isn't a fine print.
Yeah.
Well, but I sort of thought that was asked. To make sure you're right.
Unless you've heard about insurance, it's only as good as what they cover, but all the promises of what you think you're covered with.
They're usually, overall, I've found insurance companies, from what I've heard, they're pretty good because their reputation is on the line. As much as they hate to pay out money, when it comes down to it, they'll fight it as much as they can, but when it comes down to it, they pay it. So I'm just thinking with the taxpayers, if something happened, how they would feel with this council if it was put in front of us. No, I don't think we'll do that. And then also even one bridge goes, that's $2.5 million you're going to be paying out.
Yeah.
No, we should have been paying the $20,000 a year to cover all our bridges. That's my opinion.
But if the road's washed out, who cares if you got a new bridge?
Well, in a lot of cases, it'll just be the bridges.
Yeah.
There'll be some roads washed out, but those bridges go, we're in big trouble. So that's my opinion. I sort of thought that's where we were going with this, to make that determination.
So do we have a resolution or just get more information?
Yeah, I think more information would be safe.
Yeah, I'd be curious on what the other municipalities do, whether they think this, it's a big waste of taxpayers' money, or you better be covering yourself.
Well, I'd be interested in Whitestone. They have two going out to Maple Island, and they actually expanded and took over the unorganized, we call it, as municipalities.
Amalgamation,
and tried to include us and all that, but then I think the province gave them a certain amount when they took this step. But they've got some major costs if something does happen. So if you're interested at all, what they've got for coverage, I think they did some major repair on one of the bridges at Maple Island not too long ago. So they might have more information for us.
Especially Herdville Bridge. You want to make sure it was totally covered because we have a lot of cottages that aren't too much above the water level. If we ever had an extreme event, they're all going to be going downstream, a lot of these structures. And I don't know if the Herndonville Bridge is going to handle it.
Well, we'd have to talk to Lakeland Power and see. You hope the dam works.
They'll be getting so rich if we get that much water flowing down through there.
If the dam goes, then the bridge won't survive.
But more information, but I hate paying insurance, but sometimes you just have to.
So is there going to be more information at the next council meeting?
Yes.
Hopefully we'll have more information on the asset management plan at that point too. Mm-hmm. When is it closed for the, we didn't usually don't get a report from the RFP until the fall for the bridges, whoever we choose as a company. So we won't have any more information from them, we'll just have the 2023. Until probably November, I would guess. Last time, if you recall, the engineer talked to us through Zoom and went through the report with us. So I suspect something like that would happen again. But the difference here is, of course, our public works super is asking for not 3 years, I guess it's actually 6 years commitment when they're bidding on it. So it's not just for 2025, they want 2027 and 2029. So that I guess we can have, and I'm not sure if they'll commit to those figures or whether they'll increase every time. I don't think they'll decrease their costs. So I'm not sure if they'll do a three-term commitment or whether they're just going to go with 1 year. But I have that options in there. He's asking for that. So again, we won't have any up-to-date information from them until at least November. Again, we have to decide too. It closes. What does it close? June
19th.
Okay, so that's fairly soon. So whoever we choose, if we can afford them, then they'll get started working on these reports. And I hope they just don't go back and look at the previous reports and say the same thing. Yes.
And that's why I think it's good to have different engineering firms looking at the bridges, not the same engineering firm, just because then a new fresh set of eyes looking at the structure and knowing that their reputation, their engineering, their stamp is at stake. So I think it's good to have a fresh set of eyes looking at it, and then they're accountable for what they're putting down in the report. And I think that we have enough information in the previous municipal structure inventory and inspection reports, and the only reason we actually had the engineer going through this report with us is because I requested it. All the other years we had no idea that this report exists. Well, we knew that it was required, but we never seen copies of the report. We never had an engineer explain it to us. So this is something that we need to continue going forward so that we have hands-on involvement, skin in the game with, you know, these reports that are coming forward. And for the current motion that's on the table, it says option one or option two.
That motion's not on the table.
Oh, okay.
There's no motion.
So we're usually, the motion's on the table so we can have a discussion.
Right, but that's cleared up before we started.
Well, we shouldn't have been having a discussion.
You didn't object to it.
Well, anyways, that needs to change in the future motion because it's not a or, it's an and.
Yes, I think Carly put that in as an option so that we could discuss it, which we've been doing. And our discussion led to the fact that there's no resolution. We want more information. So if you need a resolution to that effect, saying that I'm going to be researching for more information, that's fine. I can put it out there, or I'll put it out to council. Just that was an option that was presented to us, and we just research more information.
Yes, it all sounds good to me. As far as more information, and we were touching on our bridges not having load limits.
Right.
That's something that could potentially happen, like you brought up about the Herndonville Bridge being the loads. Sometimes we can't. We don't know always how much load is being put on our bridges. What if something goes across one of our bridges that's too heavy? And I think of Gray Owl. and it just it crashes through, and our bridge is totaled off by some company. Is that covered by their insurance proposal? So weather events and
I can invite Samantha Elliott back on the next meeting as well, just so we have her in the room for discussion as well. Council has more questions in terms of coverage.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see. Of course, maybe they can't do that up front, but to see something in writing as well. If there's anything that's said, that isn't necessarily what you end up with. So.
Right.
Yeah, there must be. She should be able to give something in writing as far as those two questions that.
Yeah, how would it be worded in a policy? You know, something like
yeah,
that.
The damage due to overload and extreme weather events.
It may say extreme weather events excluding.
Include any exclusions.
Yeah, it's difficult because, as you say, somebody goes over with a very heavy load, they might just be damaging it. They might make it through. The only time you really catch them is something if it does actually go through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough call. And then again, if you have load limits, who enforces that? So
I guess the company would fall onto the company then if they did damage to a bridge and did have a load limit.
Yeah,
but with no load limits,
saying,
it falls on us.
Who sees it?
Right.
I think what Dave's saying is who sees when they go over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't know until the damage is done.
So I think to request, if it's in all perils, are there exclusions and what are the exclusions?
And what are the deductibles?
That's a key.
Well, and even more important, what are the current values of these bridges, right?
Yeah.
Because clearly we have some dated information there, so.
And will they stand by the full replacement or repair cost, even though they're basing their estimates on numbers which may be questionable?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would hope
even if
they go to tender.
The repair or replacement exceeds what they're using in their statistics that they're providing.
They may say you have to get three quotes or something, what
yeah.
the cost of the bridge is, and then they'll take the lowest one.
Okay. So we got 20.2. You got enough on that to work with? Yeah, resolution 25-275. Information overload, she said, yeah. moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Hassan. Whereas the township has taken delivery of a new 2025 Ram 5500 equipped with a dump box, which was acquired to replace the aging 2009 Ford F-550. Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby declares 2009 Ford F-550 to be surplus to the needs of the municipality, and further that Council authorizes the Public Works Superintendent to list the surplus vehicle for sale on the GovDeals website through a competitive bidding process. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
Did we have some queries about GovDeals before?
I know the topic came up, but I'm not sure. I
can't remember what it was about. It was something that, about, was it to do with the fire department?
They sold a truck on there and they got pretty good dollars for it.
Okay, any further discussion? I think there was some repairs to this truck not too long ago. We're signing a check, so it's the same sort of thing we run into with the fire department. Whether you want to keep repairing an old vehicle, or of course we've gone with the purchase of a new, so would it be much life left in the 2009 as a backup sort of thing? But.
Well, like you said, there's been, even in this check run report here, there was quite a few repairs done on it, and we've never heard that it's not a good truck. We've always heard that it's been incredibly good truck, and in still good shape for a 2009.
It did its job.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. To unfinished business. Anything on that list? Add or subtract?
after the release of the agenda.
Now my question was, addendum will show up on the website even though it's not a document that they'll be receiving, that they'll receive it, whoever asks for the papers, but I'm thinking the public should also see the addendum. I'm not sure why that would be kept back. Why I noticed the other ones have addendums.
There is a second addendum on the reconstruction as well that gets into a lot of technical information, so I can put on the website the closing date underneath the tender ad if
right.
that works.
I think that would help, yeah. Not that the average person would be bidding on it, but I think, again, as Councillor Zulak said earlier, if anybody asks council, well, it closed on the 18th, when are you going to accept one? Well, no, it didn't close on the 18th, but it said it was going to close on the 18th. So, again, I think we should inform the public, certainly, if there's an amendment to the date, they know what it is. The other question I had on here is, and I'm not sure where we're at with it, I think it should be on unfinished business. Now we've had the public meeting, but what's the next step in the sale of the township property?
Good. Glad you brought that up.
I just don't want it to be forgotten about. I think there's steps we need to take fairly soon, and because that might take some time to get in place.
Oh yeah, but the one that I see that hopefully will go into our parkland account. So we could maybe eliminate something off here on the unfinished business if we got that sale. So that one waterfront lot, if we continue to move along on it, especially. I know the other one's going to get bogged down.
They might.
Not received yet, but there will be a lot of money coming in the Parkland Reserve shortly, so that will help as well.
Good. I'd like to see even more with the sale of that lot. I don't know where that money you're talking about is coming from. But
we're about $25,000
to $30,000. Oh, nice. Okay. But again, let us proceed with a sale. And if nobody has objections, I think it's a perfect opportunity.
That's okay. So where are things at with that then? Because we have left, I think we had left some direction on what the next steps were.
I will revisit that resolution and look to see what the next steps were. I believe we were to, I don't know if there was a direction to consult with Landscape about a planning opinion. And if there wasn't any clear direction, then I'll bring one to the next council meeting.
Well, I'm thinking the discussion came up there too. In the public meeting, that which route we're going to go, the council hasn't made a decision yet. But I'm thinking, as research, we could find out whether we go the through the solicitor for tender, or whether we go through real estate for a letter of opinion, and to run the procedure that way. I think that would be a big decision to make, whether we go with a realtor and what that person can do. As far as, like usually it's an individual lot that they would deal with, but this would be dealing with maybe three lots, I guess, initially, two under retained. I'm just thinking they have a pretty good handle on what property is worth, but then as you raise the issue too, you know, how do you decide? You almost have to put a tender out for the real estate agent then and see what they come in at for their bids to do it. I feel more comfortable certainly with our solicitor. She's been fairly good as making sure that the property description, the PIN numbers, everything is accurate. I just worry a little bit that sort of gets out of the hands, and usually after you go through a realtor anyway, you have to turn to the solicitor. So as I said, the council hasn't really discussed that, but I think we should get some prices, especially with the realtor and with the solicitor, and what the transaction would involve. Just to see. And again, we go with the township solicitor, I would think, rather than put that out to tender. But she would certainly know the procedure, what would be involved. I think that would be a starting point anyway. Councilor Keck?
I think we have received some type of guidance in the past regarding the sale of township properties, and they provided sort of a PowerPoint from, I think it was Mascarin LLC, and it seemed to indicate that there's a lot, municipalities do not have a lot of restrictions. So if we decided, so it's just to confirm, I think one of the inquiries was regarding the how it relates to the official plan and zoning regarding the amount of lots that we were proposing for the Fire Route 152 lots. You know, are there any restrictions? And then in regards to the options of tender or getting an appraisal, that there wasn't a requirement for a township to get an appraisal, so that we could go directly with a real estate agent. And I think that's how you select the real estate agent that's going to be working this transaction. But so there isn't, I don't believe, it's just to confirm what are the steps we have to take, so that there aren't, we're not sitting here thinking there's all kinds of holdups when we could actually be moving forward quite quickly, like within the next couple of weeks. There was an opposition from those that were in attendance, and we haven't heard any feedback from anyone in the public, you know, after that meeting in opposition. So, and all indications are it's a go. So let's make it happen.
Are we going big or are we going small? You mentioned, Dave, about 2+ the retained, or are we going to go with that proposal that was it 5 lots all the other?
Yeah, my concern is this is why we need I think you got an opinion from, maybe it was Jackson, that we were getting conflicting information there. We don't want to go through the planning board, as you said, for Severance's consent, but I think his latest comment was, two and a retained, and then you would have to proceed with the retained and do two and a retained again,
mm-hmm.
or just one and a retained. So I think you'd be limited to the three.
Oh, okay.
The first information was that no, we don't have those restrictions, but I think in sober second thought, he came back and said that you follow what's in there. So, Councilor Zula.
So would it be also worthwhile to see if it was sold as a lump, the price of it?
Well, that's the other question we had talked about. If we are actually looking into it by talking to our MPP or whoever, with the possibility of grants for housing to help upgrade that road, if you sell it as a block, then you wouldn't be even going down that route.
Right.
So I think that's another thing to investigate, whether there's still any money in the public coffers or the provincial coffers to upgrade a road for future development of housing. The problem you run into, and I know they glommed on that at the meeting, because there they'll get their unassumed road assumed through a grant partially. But I think the other thing you have to look at with these lots is no guarantee that they're even going to build on them. So I'm not sure provincial government whether they would want something more concrete. Saying grant, you have to guarantee that there's going to be individual lots and there's going to be so many houses built. We had one person at the meeting saying that we want to leave it vacant. So that's another consideration to look at the grant, but I'm not sure how far that will go with a piece of property like this. I can see on a large subdivision something like that happening, you'd have more guarantees, but I think our initial steps should be enough to get it going. Anything else in the unfinished business? New business? Councilor Keckley.
So at the June 4th, 2025 Historical Committee meeting, then the Historical Committee put forward two resolutions regarding sort of delegating council to award a contract for roof repairs for St. Stephen's and the driveway going in. I'm just wondering, is there a reason why that wasn't
I just haven't had time, honestly, to put the contract together. I did receive one quotation. Sorry, you're talking about the roof. I just haven't had time to put together a tender for the roof yet. And then we were talking about contractors doing the work for the parking area. I've only received one. Just we'll need two more.
So we don't need to put a tender out because these are low value. Estimates. So we only need to obtain two estimates either by phone or by email, so it's not a tender that goes out. Just because the historical committee is not meeting again until September, and so we have the August 22nd of the grand reopening, so we wanted to make sure that the roof work, which we already had looked at last year, and I believe Councillor Haskam had received a call recently from the gentleman, Mr. Winters.
Yes, saying that he would still be available to quote if that's the way we're going to go.
And then I did try to contact the other individual, which we received contact information that did a roof recently in the area. I haven't heard back from them. So I think the attempt to at least get two bids has been fulfilled. Or two estimates as being fulfilled for a low value contract, I guess it would be called. According to
the from the procurement bylaw.
Procurement bylaw, yeah.
And is it 15,000 the value, or I can't remember?
Less than 15,000. So the roof repainting and replacing all loose fasteners
should be less than 10,000.
Wasn't it 5,000?
Well, yeah. I don't want to get too much information, but
yeah.
But it'd be less than 10,000 for sure.
Okay,
maybe way down to what you're thinking.
Yeah, so it's below the $15,001, and same with the estimate for doing the parking area. So that's the other thing I wanted to make sure is that the easement on title, is that all complete?
So I just received the final draft from our solicitor, and I'm going to bring it to council on July 2nd to review.
Okay.
And then it'll go to the property owners for their review.
Review and hopefully their approval?
Yes, and then it'll be done.
I just need a clarification on that too. When I looked at the easement, does it have a separate PIN number? It seems to me that the road allowance that goes down through to the water, there's a road allowance,
mm-hmm.
so that would automatically separate that person's property, would it not? Two separate pieces of property? And so that's what I want a clarification on the actual easement. That easement is on a separate PIN number piece of property, not on the whole piece of property, is that right? It'd be the same ownership, but this is what got a little confused. I know the question came up on Fire Route 300 when they were talking about that. Because they own some waterfront property and then they own property across the road. And if that became a municipal road, they would have an automatic severance.
Yes. He should be right, Dave. It should be a separate PIN from
the
residence, yeah,
right.
Because of that 66-foot road allowance, which I would almost think would have been done in this process. So he was...
I just praised the
right
solicitor, so I assume that was done properly. And the other question was, of course, with the easement, that would go with the property, I would assume. I mean, it would stay on there for the new, if somebody purchased that property and found out there's an easement on it, there's nothing they could do to get rid of that easement. I mean, you don't want a situation where the township puts a lot of money into a parking lot and then finds out that we've lost our easement.
So, do you want something confirmed with the solicitor, Graham?
I would think so. Maybe.
So, do you think she's already done that because the solicitor spent quite a bit of time on this currently, haven't they?
Yeah, I'll ask her the questions and get back to council.
Yeah, because was it a recommendation of the solicitor to go the easement route instead of offering to purchase? Or was
no,
it?
The landowner decided to go with easement on title.
Oh, yeah.
So what you're hoping for, but I'm hearing it, is that all this is done before the August.
Yes.
That we
We should be. You should be able to get the roof painted, right?
Yeah, that's. I think the parking area is more of a priority, but yes, it seems like the roofing could be painted prior to that.
So is the parking area also involve the driveway, the drive-in, driveway in, or is it just a parking area?
So it's part of the driveway. So when you come in, then the parking area would be extended out from the driveway in. It's the most practical way of doing it because there's a limited budget on how much is available to do the parking area.
The driveway now, where the driveway is now? So that's on
it
your
stays
land?
There. Yeah, it's on.
So you could go ahead with that, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no work being really done on the driveway.
Well, that's what
it's
I'm
just
asking.
Additional parking area.
Okay.
Yeah, so the parking area would be on the easement on title.
Okay.
And actually, when you look at the survey map, where the driveway currently goes in, it's already on the other landowner's property.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. I just understood that it was township owned.
No, like when you look at the survey map, you can see where, and this is one of the questions that the landowner had, they said it's confusing the way things are on this survey map, and it's because where the actual survey of the road driveway going in is closer to where the south fence is,
right.
But the driveway is about 15 feet north of that south fence, already on the other property owner's property.
Okay, Karen, we need clarification because we were told already that it's township owned, the driveway?
Yeah, because it was owned by the church and then we got it transferred last year.
Yeah, the driveway on the survey is township owned. But when you look at the actual location of the current driveway going in,
so we'll have to move the driveway onto the parcel?
I think that so the driveway going in, there's a bit of a grassy area between the fence and the driveway going in. So that can be extended as parking there as well. So you won't be able to differentiate sort of what's driveway and what's parking when the work is done. And then when there's an easement on title, you're all within the parameters of what's...
But it sounds like we need an easement on the other side now, too.
No.
On the other property.
No,
right?
So the south side, the township owns that to that south fence.
Okay.
It's just the driveway isn't where it should be according to the survey map.
Right, but as long as it's township owned, we're okay. But you're saying it's on somebody else's property.
It's on the north property where we're getting the title on easement currently.
Then we're getting conflicting news for our information from the solicitor. So we'll try to get that straightened out.
Yeah, I think when we got the survey map back, that actually showed that that's why the landowner was asking him questions. Like, it's confusing. Why are there things on here that I wouldn't expect to be on here?
Yeah.
And it's because the So West Perry Sound Drive-Thru Network is not actually 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So the driveway actually is on this end here, a little further onto the... So this is a little further south like this, according to the survey map.
Okay.
But that's why the easement on title is sort of critical to get ironed out ASAP. Can see even with this, which is inaccurate, West Perry Sound Geography Network, that where the main part of the driveway ends is on the other property owner's property. 100 years ago, they didn't care.
No. Okay, so we got on the to-do list. Getting longer. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Committees you've attended, workshops. One coming up tomorrow. Who's attending? That is tomorrow, isn't it?
12 tomorrow.
For the OPP? Yeah. 12 o'clock. So you're coming, Councillor Kekkonen? Okay, any other committee reports? There's something coming up, Councilor Zula, yes.
Belvedere meeting, Zoom meeting tomorrow has been canceled.
I just crossed it off my calendar. What happened?
Yeah, it just says unforeseen circumstances, so I just got that today, so I'll have to find out why, but yeah, it's canceled and they'll reschedule it in the fall. So I don't know what happened.
Hmm. So they'll have all the renovations done by then, the 22 new beds? And
it would be nice.
Any other reports? Our planning board for this month has been canceled as well?
Yeah, I guess so. And lack of applications.
Okay, we have resolution 25-277. Move by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. And we wish to pull from there to discuss. I guess we're not concerned yet with floating accommodations, but short-term rentals hit us unexpectedly, and so I'm saying be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that could happen on Manitowabing in particular. Some of the other lakes are too small maybe, but as people are crowding in, that might be the new home for some people that are in the lake.
Wouldn't that be something?
Well, we ran into it before with the fractional ownership.
Yeah.
That was a real dust up for a period of time. We tried to incorporate changes in our official plan and zoning. Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Question, comment period, related items on the agenda, in person or online? Yes.
Good evening, Warren Fruman, Mayor Moore, thank you. A couple questions, comments, a little bit more process oriented. With respect to the agenda, I know there are some standing items on there, one of them being Mayor's report. I don't think I've ever observed a specific Mayor's report in the meetings that I've attended, so I'm just somewhat curious what that agenda item is reserved for.
That's something that was put on by previous councils, and so it stayed on the agenda. Previous mayor reported at length with various reports on the everyday happenings in the township, etc. I won't try to describe the reports, but we've taken a different approach, and we've gone that, what's the expression we used? Less is more. And so we don't put in a mayor's report. We cover the material here as a council, and anything that I receive, certainly council would have received. So we discuss it here at the council table.
Okay. I just, my comment would be if there's a standing item and it's not pertaining to that specific meeting, you might just advise that in part of the agenda. Just so people are aware that that item is not going to be part of the meeting.
Yeah, it's as I say, it's set into our procedural bylaw now as well, that this is the way the agenda is established. So if you start to deal with that, then you have to go back to the procedural bylaw, and then the next council might change it again. So it's a matter of amending bylaws. And so what we would decided to do is just leave that in there and not necessarily report on it. I think you'll find, too, on the website that things that were put on by a previous council really have nothing beside them now because we're using a different approach.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Other item was, and I think I've asked Carly, I think I've talked to you about this before, I think members of the public are a little bit disadvantaged because the motions or resolutions aren't included in the package that's provided and posted on the website. So we really don't know the full context of what the discussion item may be. As an example, this evening, number 19, Point one, Bill 5, it's under correspondence for consideration, yet there was a motion that was passed by council that I was not aware that council was considering that motion. And had I been aware, not I'm arguing for or against that motion, that's not the point here, it's more a process. I don't really know, or the public doesn't really know this full context of what council is going to be discussing and how it may be framed. So again, the request has been in the past, it could motions be provided as part of the public package so that we're aware of what's going on.
I know what you're saying, that Bill 5 people could have read up on. As far as putting the motion out first, you found already that some we've dealt with, some we've amended, and I'm just thinking it might even be more confusing for the public if they saw a motion that we're going to tear apart or add to or amend, and so they're expecting a certain resolution which may or may not get passed. And so I'm not sure that, and I don't know, I'm looking at other municipalities as well. I don't recall seeing on their websites resolutions posted. We do the minutes afterwards, but not the resolutions. They have the agenda, and that's about all they provide. So I'm not sure whether it's a good thing to start putting resolutions on that might confuse the public even more. And what I would suggest, and this is what we've been aiming for, of course, is that the public attend. I mean, if they see the agenda, there's an item I'm interested in. It's a topic. I'd be able to speak on it. It's on the agenda. Rather than a resolution, they may, if they attend the meeting then, they may agree with the resolution, they may actually argue against it at the end of the meeting, like you get the chance right now like you're doing. I'm just saying by putting resolutions out there, it would be a major departure from what councils have done for the past, I don't know how many years, a long time. And to me, it might create more confusion.
Yeah, I think I differ on that opinion, but I respect your view there. I guess the concern is, you know, public has an opportunity to speak as I am right now after the fact.
Right.
Okay, so the resolution's been discussed and passed, carried, deferred, whatever.
One point of clarification. You notice in this council, if you've been following, that quite often I've asked the public for opinions as we go along. If it's something that's questionable, controversial, especially on planning. We open it up to the public. We don't have to. There's an actual time we've been told by solicitors too, this is what you follow, and the public can participate at the end. But I agree with you. Often the resolution's already passed. So if we're falling into that trap, I hope we're not. I think we've been very open with letting public get involved as we go along with the topics.
I would agree that I've observed that in certain planning issues where there's been individuals that have asked to speak and you have not declined them the opportunity. Absolutely. I'm not sure I understood or the public may ability because it's not listed or documented elsewhere, right? So it's something that is a learned experience, and I'll take your comments as one that if I have a concern, that I will, you know, raise my hand and ask the floor to recognize.
Yeah, it's something, again, that we've had consultants advise in the municipal field and saying that the council has been elected to represent the public. And if there's any particular issue, you can actually get on for a deputation. And there are many committees right now, and I don't necessarily agree with it, that's the only way you can participate, if you sign up for a deputation. And so this way, I think it's more open, and we'd like to be as transparent as possible, but I'm not sure that we can involve the public with every issue that comes up. Our meetings will be going on to midnight, if we give everybody the opportunity to discuss each item. And our consultants have suggested you don't do that. You allow a certain time in the agenda to have the public participate.
Okay. I'd like your opinion on, again, related to Bill 5. This is the first time I think I've seen this council adopt something similar. I see it in the minutes from other councils quite frequently where they have taken some concern or exception of some other legislation that's been presented, passed by a different governing body, and they put a resolution to that as well. I guess my question is, how does this council know whether or not they are agreeing to a resolution or putting forward or passing a resolution that is aligned with the constituents of the county?
Well, again, you've got a situation. You can't have a referendum on every bill that comes along. Elections were held, and the representatives of the people, if people have concerns with that particular bill or any resolution, they can come forward. Give their opinions. With Bill 5, unfortunately, we're a bit late with that because it's already been passed. The government rushed it through and there were comments being made, yes. But again, it's just more of the practical logistics of allowing, again, people to speak on every particular issue. sections of those two and maybe not the whole thing. And other townships often do that too. They'll want a recommendation or a support from the different townships. So I would say we've been fairly good at following what is coming to us from various sources. And I think most things that come end up on the agenda. I don't think of too many that we just discard. So it's out there for... Now, the reason we've gone this way too with the consent agenda, that was a recommendation as well, that usually you don't deal with those particular issues. Those are just the information that's come through, and decide that with one resolution you accept the consent agenda. Other concerns, for instance, we have correspondence for consideration. That's the one that we spend more time on. It might be a resolution, and the people who write in actually ask for that. They'd rather be in that category than the one for consideration, but or the consent agenda for correspondence. I think the problem comes in all the things that do come in here, and I'm sure some decisions are made by administration too, whether it should come onto the agenda or whether it shouldn't. We get to see most things like that come through the office, so we put that out to the public too. Many of these things we can just ignore. I mean, some of them, like I mentioned, the floating accommodations. I mean, it may not deal with us. It involves certain ones, so we didn't endorse that in any way. We didn't come through with our own resolution. But at least it's out there for the public. They can go further with it if they wish. And they can contact the Township of Georgian Bay, as an example, and see what the issues are. And maybe that could be brought as a deputation to council then if they have those concerns. And this, unfortunately, the deputations aren't used enough by the public. They're usually used by committees or organizations. But I think the option's always there for them.
I know. I am actually looking at making a deputation if I can find some time to do that. And I do plan to do that probably in late summer, early fall. Thank you. And one other final comment. I support Councillor Ryland's comments regarding going after as best we can individuals that are in arrears. Yes, the $100,000 delta is significant, but if there's $500,000 or $600,000, that's almost two tax years worth of revenue that could be caught up and used, hopefully, in reserve for bridges, roads, all the things, good things that have been talked about by council tonight. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Anybody online wish to comment? Okay, we have gone to 27.1, resolution 25-278, moved by Councilor Pekkanen, seconded by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-35, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of the first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open Council of the 17th day of June 2025. Discussion? Call the question. All in favor? None opposed? Carried. To adjournments, section 28. I have resolution 25-279, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Haskell. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
9:24
p.m. to meet again on Wednesday, July the 2nd, 2025. That's the first Tuesday in